ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Today, chapter 6, Jnana Yoga, text number 35, I believe. Please repeat. Sri Bhagavan Vacha, Asamsayam, Mahabaho, Mano, Durnigraham Chalam Abhyasena Tu Kunteya Vairagyena Cha Griyate Sri Bhagavan Vacha Asamsayam Mahabaho Manodurnigraham chalam Abhyasena tukunteya Vairagyena chagriyate Sri Bhagavana vacha Asamsayam mahabaho Manodurnigraham chalam Abhyasena tukunteya Vairagyena chagriyate Sri Bhagavana vacha Asamsayam mahabaho Mano durnigriham chalam Abhyasena tukunteya Vairagena chagrihit yate. Translation, Srila Prabhupada. The Blessed Lord said, O mighty arm, son of Kunti, it is undoubtedly very difficult to curb the restless mind, but it is possible by constant detachment, by constant practice, and by detachment. Please repeat. The Blessed Lord said, does it say that? Yeah. This looks like this is the old one. Blessed Lord was Sri Bhagavana Vacha. He said Krishna. Okay, anyway, try to repeat what I've got so we don't die of confusion. O mighty arm, son of Kunti. It is undoubtedly very difficult to curb the restless mind. But it is possible by constant practice and by detachment. What have you got in there? You read suitable practice, it says. In the word for word it says what? By practice, abhyasena. Practice means constant, actually. It means repeated. And here Vairagyena, yeah. But in yours, what does it... You've got the Jayadvaita version, right?
Yeah.
So what... Read the whole thing.
Okay, Lord Krishna said, O mighty arm, son of Kunti, it is undoubtedly very difficult to curb the restless mind, but it is possible by suitable practice and by detachment.
Suitable practice? Well, why did he change that? You must ask him. Constant practice. Anyway, purport, Srila Prabhupada. The difficulty of controlling the obstinate mind, as expressed by Arjuna, is accepted by the personality of Godhead. But at the same time, he suggests that by practice and detachment it is possible. What is that practice? In the present age, no one can observe strict rules and regulations, such as placing oneself in a sacred place, focusing the mind on the Supersoul, restraining the senses and mind, observing celibacy, remaining alone, etc. By the practice of Krishna consciousness, however, one engages in 9 types of devotional service to the Lord. The first and foremost of the devotional engagements is hearing about Krishna. This is a very powerful transcendental method for purging the mind of all misgivings. The more one hears about Krishna, the more one becomes enlightened and detached from everything that draws the mind away from Krishna. By detaching the mind from activities not devoted to the Lord, one can very easily learn vairag. Vairag means detachment from matter and engagement of the mind in spirit. Impersonal spiritual detachment is more difficult than attaching the mind to activities of Krishna. This is practical because by hearing about Krishna, one becomes automatically attached to the Supreme Spirit. This attachment is called parasena bhuti, spiritual satisfaction. It is just like the feeling of satisfaction a hungry man has for every morsel of food he eats. Similarly, by discharge of devotional service, one feels transcendental satisfaction as the mind becomes detached from material objectives. It is something like curing a disease by expert treatment and appropriate diet. Hearing of the transcendental activities of Lord Krishna is therefore expert treatment for the mad mind, and eating the foodstuff offered to Krishna is the appropriate diet for the suffering patient. This treatment is the process of Krishna consciousness. Makam karoti vacha lam phangam laite girem yakripa tamaham vande shri guru dinatarinam. Shri Bhagavan vacha asamsayam mahabaho mano durgi graham chalam abhyasena tukunteya vairagyena chagriyate. The Blessed Lord said, O mighty armed son of Kunti, it is undoubtedly very difficult to curb the restless mind, but it is possible by suitable constant practice and detachment. Yes. So we discussed this last week actually as a follow-on to last week's verse that at least I was talking on, because Arjuna had said, this system, this particular system of yoga, it's in 33, yoyam yogasht, this type of yoga seems very difficult and impractical for me because the mind is restless and unsteady. So in this form of yoga, Ashtanga yoga, the aim is to control the mind. So the different forms of yoga, the person is the mind, body and spirit. So karma yoga fixes on the controlling the body, you can think of it. Body, mind, mental body and soul. So karma yoga has a stress on doing your work, karma, your material duties, and offering them to Krishna. So somebody that wants to work hard and do his job in society, and he doesn't really have much time for spiritual study, but just wants to work hard, and also maybe because he is in a mentality, by working hard I'll get a good fruit, and in my next life I'll get a better life in the material world. So karma is there, karma yoga. So karma yoga means to perform your karma for Krishna. Then jnana yoga is associated with the mind, the mental body. People who are more on the mental or intellectual platform, they want to think about life, not work hard so much, but they may want to read so many philosophers. And if they're very lucky, then they'll start studying the Vedas and the Vedic teachers. So that is jnana yoga. And the basic idea of jnana yoga is to distinguish matter from spirit. Because this material world, is a mixture of matter and spirit. Super soul is here, soul is here, consciousness of the soul is here, and material energy is here. So in Jnana Yoga, the accent or the focus or the stress is on distinguishing matter from spirit, and therefore getting some understanding of spirit as opposed to matter, because most people are engrossed in material conception. So they want to get some realization of spirit. The fault with that is that they may just, because they're not engaging in Krishna's service, they may just come to the conclusion that spirit is impersonal. So they may become monistic, or Brahmavadi. They may think, yes, everything is spirit, actually. Everything has come out of spirit, even the material energy. But lacking knowledge of the variety of spirit or the personality of spirit, they may become monistic. And then there's on the soul, spiritual platform, mind, body, mind and spirit. Then Prabhupada is explaining here that this form of yoga, Ashtanga yoga, as Prabhupada said in the purport, generally is performed under Patanjali's Yoga Sutras, Yoga Sutra. So, as we all know, Krishna expands into the material energy as Paramatma to govern it. Mayadakshena prakriti suryate sachara. Krishna is controlling ultimately the material energy by his Paramatma expansion. And of course that is non-different from Krishna. Just like the jnani, he may get some realization of Brahman or the impersonal energy. So the yogi, in Patanjali Yoga Sutras, I think it's about 106 verses only. And towards the end there is mentioned that one should perform jnana or meditation on the oversoul, the supersoul. So all of a sudden there's an introduction of the idea of personality, but there's not very much description. Like Prabhupada says in the purport there, that the devotee who gives up this form of yoga, Ashtanga yoga, meditation on the supersoul, he hears about the supreme personality. Because yes, Krishna has expanded his supersoul to govern the material energy, but that is not his esoteric, his hidden, his inner activity. That is performed in the spiritual world, in Golok, even in the Vaikuntha Lokas, where there is no mixture of matter and spirit. There is just the Supreme Personality and his God and his devotees and the Chit Shakti. So that meditation is the highest. But this meditation on the supersoul, Arjuna is saying, yeah, is very difficult. And also, how is it practical for Arjuna in the battlefield? We mentioned this last week, right? He's on the battlefield. Is he going to sit on the chariot and meditate and see everything as equal, right? It says to see everything as equal. How is he supposed to fight Duryodhana? You see Duryodhana as equal to Yudhisthira? Is it possible? No. So that form of mentality is only temporary, actually. Because yes, in samadhi you may sit down and meditate that everyone is spirit soul, this material energy, it is spiritual, and I should not become agitated by it. I should be neutral, like it says, you know, you should be detached. So you may meditate in that way, for an hour or two, or even 2-3 days, and you may go on a retreat to a mountain top and sit under a tree. But how long can you stay there and in that mentality? You'll have to come out and you'll have to deal with the world, right? And you have to deal with the rickshaw wala and the traffic jam. And you have to deal with the shop wala, and you have to do this, and you have to pay the bill in the post office. So you cannot say it's all one. No, you have to deal with the world according to the variety. So this yoga system, we can understand, is just a temporary thing. It is a temporary way of bringing the senses back from material engagement, where we're always thinking this is good or bad, he's a friend, he's not a friend, I want to do this, I don't want to do that. Instead of this variety of duality that we have in the material consciousness, it's a way of stopping that and seeing the oneness. So, of course, sometimes devotees say, yeah, it's all one, and they make a joke about it. Yes, but it is all one. Our philosophy is achimcha bheda bhed. That ultimately there is a oneness, because everything is manifest from Krishna. And everything, even the material energy, is ultimately Krishna's energy. So it is one in that way. And then behind that variety of the material energy, there is the Brahman. Krishna explains in the Gita that yes, Brahmano pratishtaham, that I am the Brahman, and it's spread everywhere, left and right, back and forward, up and down. And everything, Krishna says, is resting on that Brahman energy. Just, it is the thread, sutri mani gana iva, just like the beads, they have a thread inside. So there's a thread that just doesn't go in two dimensions, but that goes in every direction. And all the material energy is manifest, that is manifest, is threaded on that. Because the material scientists, they have a theory, it's called entropy. We talked about it 5 weeks ago in Bhagavatam class. Entropy means that things usually become disorganized. For instance, if you don't clean and polish and tidy this room, after a month or two there will be dust, bugs will come, everything will start to fall apart. Same thing with our body. We have to clean it, make it healthy, feed it properly, rest it. If we don't, then it will naturally degrade. Huh? Just like in a garden, if you don't look after the plants, it will go to seed, become disorganized. So they cannot understand, well, everything should be falling apart, returning to chaos. But they see in the universe, no, actually, the planet is staying the same, the seasons are continuing, and so on. That there's some kind of maintenance that is acting against entropy. Things aren't falling apart. You know, Mother Earth, for millions and millions of years, has been going on, the rain and the water and the fire and the sun and the seasons. So that shouldn't be happening. According to entropy, it should just all be dissolving back into a kind of mush, you know, where everything is just muddy. So of course we understand that it is Super Soul. Paramatma is maintaining the cosmic arrangement in the material world. Because that is Vishnu, that is Vishnu's job. He's maintainer of goodness. Brahma is maintainer of the mode of passion, and Shiva destroys everything. So Vishnu is maintaining the cosmic arrangement. He's stopping entropy, or Lord Shiva. He's controller of Lord Shiva. Lord Brahma gets energy from Krishna to make the arrangement. Lord Vishnu maintains it, and then Shiva dissolves it. Right? We hear that everything just dissolves back into the pradhan eventually. Just like you can think of it in this way. This is the pradhan, you can think, and then a shape. There's a manifestation. Right? Of course this is two dimension, but the pradhan is there, it is the basic substance of matter. And then out of the pradhan comes all this variety, all these universes, all these planetary systems, and then it just dissolves back. Like you make a shape and then you no shape. So that is what's happening in the material world. It is manifesting and then dissolving back into the pradhan. So Vishnu is maintaining the manifestation. So in this form of yoga, the yogi is trying pratyahar, right? After pranayama is pratyahar. He's withdrawing the senses from the material world, and he's trying to fix the mind, as Patanjali tells him, upon the supersoul, who's governing the material energy. And then, it's also mentioned in the Bhagavatam, by meditating on that supersoul, how he is, this is how the yogi gets mystic power, you know. If the yogi meditates on this supersoul as being heavier and greater than the material variety, then he gets the city of Mahima, where he can become gigantic and heavy. And then he can get Lagima. If he meditates on how supersoul is within the tiniest atom, and maintain, then he can also develop that power to become small. And if he meditates on supersoul, how supersoul is touching everything, he can also bring objects from a different place. So that is explained in the Bhagavatam, that by meditating on different aspects of the Supreme Lord, different powers that he manifests, then the living entity can attract a little semblance of that power. You understand? Of course, he can never become as powerful or have the same power as Super Soul, but he can get a little bit of power. So, the basic principle is to meditate on the Supreme Lord. But of course, Patanjali, in his Yoga Sutra, he warns, he says, yes, as you fix your consciousness, or your mind, on the Supreme Oversoul, the Supersoul, then, yes, mystic powers will develop. As you become detached from matter and you perform austerity. But Patanjali says don't become attracted by these. These are deviations. Because if you enjoy these mystic powers, you will be distracted from the main aim of realizing the supersoul. So again, it's the same point. Yes, Prabhupada says that. And also many yoga text teachers, they will tell you the same thing. Mystic powers will come if you actually practice this form of yoga, but it is a distraction from realizing the supersoul. But Prabhupada makes the point here that Krishna consciousness is a different form of yoga, ultimately. though we can learn from this form of yoga, for like hatha yoga, to keep healthy and so on and so forth, and actually even in the Hari Bhakti Vilas, breathing exercises are mentioned by Sanatan Goswami before meditation. So in Bhakti Yoga we take the best of all the other practices, but the basic point is that in Bhakti Yoga, yes, we understand that we are not the body, we're not the mind, we're spirit, and we want to meditate on spirit, but we don't meditate on Brahman or Supersoul, we meditate on Bhagavan. We don't meditate on Krishna in the material world as Paramatma, we meditate upon Krishna in Golok or Gokul when he manifests Golok activities in the material world. So yes, everything is Krishna, and it's interesting, you see, the material scientists that don't believe there is spirit, they're meditating on the material energy, are they not? You can meditate on four things: matter, like the material atheist. You can meditate on mind, like the jnani or the intellectual. You can meditate on spirit in the form of Brahman, or spirit in the form of Supersoul. But the devotee wants to meditate on spirit in the form of Bhagavan and Krishna's devotees. So that is not manifest in the material world, except, as Prabhupada explains here, by hearing. And this is what Lord Chaitanya, when he was talking with Ramananda Roy, Ramananda Roy went through all the different levels of yoga, and then he quoted the verse of Lord Brahma, Stane Shrutikatam Tanuva Manobir, that the devotee, he should stay in whatever his material position is, but he should hear Stane Shrutikatam. He should stay whatever, but he should now Shruti, he should hear Shravanam. He should hear about the Supreme Lord, and those he should hear from the devotee, and he should hear from the Supreme Lord in the form of the scripture, and he should offer his obeisances to those narrations. And if he does that, offering his mind, body and spirit to those narrations, then he conquers the Supreme Lord. That is the verse of Lord Brahma after the Brahma Vimohan Leela, chapter 14, Bhagavatam. So that form of yoga, Lord Chaitanya said, yes, now you're speaking properly. Why? Because that points the soul at the transcendental activities. You can think of the super soul as the not material activities, but the activities in the material world. So, we're not advised to meditate on Brahman or the material energy like the atheistic scientist, because that's a form of tantra. In India, of course, everybody knows there's Durga Tantra, right? So they worship Kali or Parvati or Durga, different aspects of the wife of Lord Shiva. And they try to get power. It's big in Puri, right? I've heard. I know one devotee, he married the daughter of one tantric in Puri. And she had some special book. She didn't want to get into it, but her father was famous in Puri, and he had special powers. And he died, and she had his book of different tantra. And there's all sorts of things that you go to, this burning ghat, and you get this and you get that, or you dig up dead bodies and you sit on the dead body in the dark moon night, and you chant mantras and you call ghosts, and there's all, she had that book. And he had a lot of trouble because a lot of people wanted that book. But anyway, so that form of tantra is one thing. And then of course there is a similar, something related in Africa, they have voodoo, you know, where people also use material things to control ghosts and so on. And so that is a form of meditating on the material energy to get material power. So the material scientist is a form of tantra, because he may not be using parts of dead bodies and chanting, but he's meditating on the material energy, and he's thinking that if I control the material energy, I'll get some power, I'll get nuclear energy or something. So they're in the class of tantra, the material scientists, the atheists. But the devotee is directed to meditate on the Absolute Supreme Lord and his transcendental activities. And Prabhupada explains here that when he does that, Prabhupada, if you remember in the purport, he feels like a hungry man. He feels satisfaction. He's getting some food. So, and then, because he gets a taste, then his mind automatically goes towards spirit. He goes to Krishna. Because, yes, Krishna is rasavaisaha, the Upanishad. He's the form of all mellow. So those mellows are manifest in the material world, but in a yad yad vibhuti mat sattvam, there's a little taste in matter, right? Like a man, he works very hard for his wife and kids, works in the factory day and night, spends his whole life. He's getting some taste. He's getting a little taste from bringing up his family and being a member of society. And the intellectual who's meditating on impersonal energy, he's getting a little taste also. And the yogi who's meditating on super soul, he's getting a little taste. But the reservoir of all taste is Bhagavan. It's rather like the difference between meditating on the sun and the sunlight, right? The sunlight, yes, that is bright, but the sun is the source of all that. So we meditate on Krishna by hearing, because that gives taste. And that's very important, because this verse says, yes, it's hard to control the mind, it's restless, but it's possible by practice and detachment. So detachment from matter and attachment to spirit. But that attachment comes by practice. So in the bhakti form of yoga, that means vaidhi bhakti. One should chant regularly. One should get up, chant in the Brahma Muhurta. He should chant every day. He should hear the Shastra every day. And then he gets a taste. And then the mind becomes satisfied, because it's going to the ultimate conclusion. So this is a very important point. Because if we don't get the taste, then we will fall back to material taste. Huh? Krishna says in the Gita that, what is that? Param drisva nivartate, rasopyasya, rasopyasya. That an embodied soul may be restricted from sense enjoyment, but the taste remains for material enjoyment. But by experiencing a higher taste, he becomes fixed. So this is what Prabhupada is explaining here, that yes, because we have the material body, and this material body wants material enjoyment, it is pulling us to material life and doesn't want us to go to spiritual meditation. But if we do practice Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, then we get a taste, and then the material body is easier to discipline. So even though this verse is about Astanga Yoga, it is also important for us. If we practice Vaidhi Bhakti and chanting, and also Rag Bhakti in the form of hearing about the Leela of Krishna and trying to understand that Leela, that constant hearing, and also detachment, if we realize I'm not this body, because everyone is in the material world thinking I'm the body. So detachment means I'm not the body. So whenever we become agitated for material enjoyment, we should remind ourselves, you're not the body, this is illusion. And you see, then on that basis we can become detached. And then we engage in hearing and chanting. And this way, Krishna, we're offering our chanting to Krishna for his pleasure. And then we feel pleasure. Because the basic principle is, we want pleasure for ourselves. That is the material consciousness. But and the spiritual understanding is that my real self is Krishna. Just like I explained in the Bhagavatam class, you can look, point at this finger and think, what is this? It is a finger. But you can also say it is my body. Right? So the soul is actually part of Krishna. So if we act for Krishna and Krishna's devotee, the spiritual master, and we chant for his pleasure, then just like this finger becomes satisfied when it's properly connected to the body, then we feel pleasure. If we think, oh, pleasure means me, then we will only get little bit of pleasure. But if we're connected to the reservoir of pleasure by the attitude of service and acting for his pleasure, then we feel great pleasure. Just like the gopis, when they went to see Krishna in the night, they went there to serve Krishna, to dance with Krishna. Krishna's playing the flute. So they thought, let us go there and Krishna will enjoy dancing with us. So they didn't, because of their purity, they didn't go for their own pleasure. But when they were with Krishna, serving Krishna, they automatically felt pleasure, you see. So the devotee, he serves the spiritual master, the order of the spiritual master, he serves Krishna for Krishna's pleasure, but then automatically he feels pleasure. Because spiritual master says follow regulative principles, chant 16 rounds. So if you do that, the spiritual master is pleased, he feels pleasure. So if you're giving pleasure to Krishna's devotee, Krishna's pleased, and then you feel pleasure yourself. So it's very important then that a devotee cultivate the pleasure of Krishna through his spiritual practice. If he, like we're doing in the temple, making nice garland for Krishna, nice food stuff for Krishna, cleaning the temple for Krishna, this is all to please Krishna, right? And then we will feel pleasure. And we should accept that pleasure, because that gives pleasure to Krishna, to see that his devotees are feeling pleasure. And then if we become fixed in the pleasure, spiritual pleasure, of serving Krishna, then we can stop material pleasure. You understand? We can stop going to the material energy for our pleasure. So a devotee, yes, he acts for the pleasure of Guru, for Vaishnav and Krishna. And that way he feels pleasure within himself. And when he feels this pleasure, then he can forget the material pleasure. But if he doesn't feel pleasure from his service, or he doesn't serve according to Guru, and therefore he's making aparad, then he doesn't feel pleasure in his heart. So then he falls into maya. So this is very important. This is the basic principle for giving up the maya shakti, that we become engaged in the pleasure of Krishna. And then we feel satisfied within ourselves. And then a devotee in this mentality, he has the mentality of the spiritual world. Because in the spiritual world, people are acting not for their own pleasure, but for the pleasure of Krishna, for the pleasure of Mother Yashoda, for the pleasure of other residents of the spiritual world. In this material world, everyone's acting for their own pleasure. So they stay in this material world, and they act for their own pleasure as a human being, as a demigod, as a dog, as an animal, as an insect, and they act for their own pleasure. So they stay. But when you have the mentality of acting for the pleasure of Krishna, then you go to the spiritual world, because that is the mentality. And according to your mentality, that's the place you will go. Yeah? So sadhana bhakti means to learn the art of acting for the pleasure of Krishna under the guidance of Guru. And so, as Prabhupada points out here, there's nine forms: Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam. So Vandanam, offering prayers, just like we're discussing in Bhagavatam class, the Prachetas. Lord Shiva says, you recite this prayer, this stuti, for the pleasure of Krishna. Krishna will be pleased with you. And then you will feel pleasure yourself. So spiritual life doesn't mean no pleasure. It means spiritual pleasure. So devotee, if he's practicing nicely with the proper mentality, he should be full of happiness, he should be full of pleasure. And he accepts that pleasure because when Krishna sees his devotee is satisfied, then he feels pleasure. Just like a mother, when the child is happy, she feels pleasure. Like if you go in the restaurant, you'll see a man, he's got his children and his wife there, and they're all ordering paratha and lassi, and they're all eating, and the man is sitting there at the table, you know, in Govindas, and you can see, oh yes, bring chips, and he's ordering, and he's a big man. So he's feeling pleasure. Of course, when he plays the bill, but then he may not feel so much pleasure. But then he likes to pay the bill. Yes, okay. And he feels fulfilled, right? Because his children and his wife, he loves them, maybe. But he's feeding them, so he feels satisfaction and pleasure, right? So a devotee, he wants to give pleasure to Guru by being obedient to the order of Guru. And so if we think like that, Guru has given the order to chant. That is the basic, and to hear. So if we're ever feeling depressed or we don't know what to do, we just pick up our beads and we chant, thinking, this will please my guru, this will please Krishna. And if you do it in this way, as a sacrifice to please Krishna, not for your own thing, but as an offering to Krishna, then you will automatically feel pleasure. You see? It's a mentality. That's the meaning of Manmana Bhava Madhukto Madhyaji. Yagi, Y-A-G, means yajna or sacrifice. It means bhajan. So bhajan means to offer prayers and chanting and thought for Krishna's pleasure. And this is the mentality of the spiritual world. Sometimes we come to bhakti and we think, I'm going to chant for my improvement, my elevation, I will get bliss. Well, that's okay at the beginning when you have no knowledge, because it will inspire you to chant. But the real devotional mentality is to do Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam for the pleasure of Guru, particularly, and Krishna, you see. Just like when you offer aarti, you can do it counting how many times at the feet and this, or you can just do it in the mentality. Here is a nice flame, here is a nice incense, here is some nice flowers. Krishna, you please accept these things for your pleasure. And then you will feel pleasure. And that pleasure, like we say, that will save you from the Maya Shakti. Do you understand the point? It will save you from Maya. If you don't get pleasure, just like Mataji there, you're making the garland, right? So you're thinking, this Krishna will enjoy this garland. We should think. I'm not saying that you're doing, but if somebody's making the garland and you think, this is a headache, I wish I didn't have to do this, I want to go to sleep. This is not devotion and mentality, right? But you're doing it as a yajna. I'll do it for Krishna. And then when you see that garland on the deity, right, you feel pleasure, is it not? Or you just finished the garland and you know, I feel pleasure. So it's very important, this point, because param drisvani vartate. We don't want to give up material, just pleasure, and become detached and become bored. We want to get the pleasure from Krishna's service. It's very important. And so the mentality is very important. Yagi, bhajan, yajna for Krishna. So that is meant, that is the real vairag, detachment from matter. But as Prabhupada said in the purport, engagement in the service of Krishna for his pleasure. Because the yogi meditating on Supa Soul, he may become distracted by mystic power. The jnani meditating on Brahman, he may become distracted by thinking, I have merged, I have become the Brahman. And the materialist meditating on the material energy, I'm getting money, or I'm getting nuclear power, I'm getting knowledge. These are all acting for themselves. But bhakti is the only real yoga, because it's performed for the pleasure of Krishna. So if we train ourselves to act for the pleasure of Guru and pleasure of Krishna, then we very quickly get the taste, spiritual taste. And once we have that mentality, this is the point, of serving for Krishna's pleasure, then we leave this material world. And we get bhava bhakti. Do you see the point? So it all means mentality. You see, we're in the material world, at least myself, because of material mentality. Everyone, whether they're human or devata, they all have some interest in this world for their own benefit. But the devotee is thinking, they're all in the spiritual world and they're all unselfish. Let Krishna be satisfied. And then they feel, then they are atmaram. Because, and that is real self-service, because Krishna is this atma-atma. He is the soul. He is our real self. Our real self is Krishna. We are Angsa, part of Krishna. Right? So we have relationship directly with Krishna. So if we really want to serve ourselves, it really means to serve Krishna. Because Krishna is the self. He is the soul of the soul. We often think, oh, inside the body is the soul. But inside the soul is Krishna. So instead of serving the body externally, we want to serve Krishna inside our soul. And therefore, when we serve and we chant, we meditate on Krishna in the heart. Because Krishna is the soul, and the Krishna are residing in the region of the heart. So if we learn to chant, usually sometimes we might chant within our brain, our head, because this is where the consciousness is most manifest. So we're chanting and we're thinking, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, we're chanting in our mind. But actually the seat of the consciousness is the soul. Just like the seat of sunlight is the sun. So the sun is in a particular spot in the sky. So the soul is here, it's not in the brain. So when we chant and we do service, we do it from the heart. And if we learn to chant in the heart, then we wake up the soul and our relationship with Krishna. This is all practical. So before we chant, we should think, I'm chanting for the pleasure of Krishna, I'm not the body, and we chant within the heart. And if you do that, then you will realize the soul, you will feel within your heart, you will feel some transcendental pleasure. It is practical. So chant in the heart for the pleasure of Krishna. We'll finish on that point. Bhagavad Gita Srila Prabhupada Sadhu Sangha Ki Jai. Any question? Yes, Mataji. Well, Paramatma doesn't become a worm in the stool. Well, the soul even doesn't become a worm in the stool. Because he's only there by consciousness, you see. The soul is always spiritual, but the consciousness becomes contaminated and he identifies with the worm body or the human body or the Rakshasa body. You see, we think we're this body by consciousness. So it says here, we have to take the consciousness back from the body and fix it at the lotus feet of Krishna. You see? That's the basic principle of yoga. Taking the consciousness away from matter and fixing it on spirit. And you hear, where is spirit, where is super soul, where is Krishna, from the Shastra, from Guru, from Vaishnav. You see? So yes, Paramatma is with the soul, but Paramatma and the soul, they're always transcendental, even in the body of a worm. But the consciousness of the living entity has mixed. Just like you cannot do anything to the sun. But today when it was raining, it was dark in the morning, right? So we think, oh, the sun has gone. But the sun is always in the sky. But we're under the cloud. So the living entity is under the cloud of Maya. But it's never. The soul is always above the cloud. The super soul is always above the cloud. So similarly, the sun is never affected by the cloud. You understand? But the cloud is affecting the sunlight. You see? So the consciousness is affected. So yoga means to stop at least during chanting and pulling the consciousness back and fixing it on spirit in the form of spiritual sound and vibrating that sound within the heart, within where Krishna is residing. Like Lord Chaitanya said, my heart is Vrindavan, you see. So we have to create Vrindavan, not just in outside, but in the heart. And then we won't ever take birth as a worm again. Okay, Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Is the point clear, Mataji?
Yes, Prabhu.
Okay, good. Yes, one question.
You know when you say...
Here, take this. It's from Goni Thai.
Thank you.
Yeah?
When you say that we need to be doing things with pleasure and love.
Yeah. Well, we have to have that mentality,
yeah.
You see. If we live in the temple thinking, for my pleasure I'm living here, then the devotional mentality is distant, you see. So that's why I'm saying it's very important at the beginning to know that. We're serving for Krishna's pleasure. Mm-hmm. Of course, at the beginning, we have to do it from a mental. We think, yes, I'm doing it for Krishna. But then as we become more practiced, it comes from the heart more naturally.
Because this has been like plaguing me for a few days because...
Say again?
Because this has been like affecting my mind for a few days. I've just been like thinking about this.
What? What point?
I guess like I'm getting more into a routine rather than actually doing it for...
Pleasure, yeah. So therefore you have to... before you chant, you have to... It's called Bhuta Shuddhi. You should do... You should think, I'm not the body, I'm the soul. And now I'm going to chant for Krishna. You know, before you do something, you remind yourself.
Okay. And it's very interesting when you mention the arati, because every time I'm doing it, I'm just counting the number, like 4, 3, 2, and then 7. I'm just like, oh, am I doing it? The numbers are coming rather than actually, you know, doing it for, you know.
But now you'll try differently. Yeah, you can count, but if you don't, say you're doing 4 to the feet, right?
Yeah.
But you do 3 or 5 by mistake.
Yeah, and I get
that is not. Yeah, but that doesn't matter. The main thing is you're offering for the pleasure of Krishna, you see.
So is it pleasure if I'm doing it?
But if you do it 4 or 5 or 3.5, then Krishna's not. Because the real thing is you're offering to Krishna, you understand? But of course you should. So you see, Vaidhi rules, this is a rule. Is the support of bhakti. You know, it regulates. Because if that wasn't in the Shastra, 4 here, 2 there, 3 there, 7 around, then people might, 10 here, 5 here, they might do anyway, you know. And then everyone will be doing the different thing. But this makes a standard and it's logical, and so that is Vaidhi. But within Vaidhi, we want to do it with the devotional mentality, you see. You understand the point? So yeah, we want to do 16 rounds, but if we do more, or we, you know, that's no, Prabhupada said minimum 16. But we do it, you see, we don't just, okay, mechanically I'm going to chant. But we want to chant, well that's why I'm saying in the class, you chant for the pleasure of Krishna, for the pleasure of Guru. Just like if I give you an order and you do it, then I'm happy with you, right? So if Guru gives the order to chant 16 rounds, and you chant 16 rounds, then you're pleasing Guru, because you're following his order. You understand? But the best thing is, you do it with that mentality. Oh, I'm happy, I've got the order of Guru. You understand? Just like, say I'm sitting here giving class, and I say, please bring me a glass of water. You can go happily and bring it, or you can think, oh, why do I have to bring the water? And then, you know, then I won't, I'll take the water, maybe drink it, but I won't be, you know, if I see that you are miserable, then I won't be happy. So we want to execute the order of Guru enthusiastically. Yes, because like, you know, if you're, if you have a servant, Guru is the master of his devotees, and those servants are enthusiastic and willing, then you are very happy. But if your servants are, you know, truculent and unhappy and unwilling, how you can be happy with them? So we should serve Guru enthusiastically.
Because of that thing, I feel that, I mean, like, more I get into rules and regulations and more the law, and like,
rules and regulations are good,
but I get too much into it that, you know, I lose track of what I say, you know.
Yeah, well, now you know better, right? I'm telling you. It's called Niyamagraha. You know, in Nectar of Instruction? Have you read?
I have, but I can't.
Remember, it says following rules and regulations without understanding.
Yeah, understanding, yeah.
So, yeah,
we're not following without.
Yeah, that, so it's both sides.
Yeah.
Not following properly means being too loose. You know, and then is following strictly but not understanding why. You know, that's like the smarter Brahman, you know, very strict, doing everything, but he's not devotional. So we want to follow rules and regulations, what's come from Hari Bhakti Vilas and Acharyas. We follow rules and regulations, but and that protects our bhakti. But within that framework, we want to develop the enthusiastic, willing service to Krishna and Guru. Right? You see the point? So don't be, it's good to learn the rules and regulations and following them nicely. Yeah, but if that's not so, it's explained, I don't want to make you too loose, but it's explained like the Avaduta, for example. He can just lay down on the bank of the Jamuna, not sleep at any time, not get up, and he's just thinking of the Supreme Lord, right? That, right? So he's beyond rules and regulations. And there's also, you know, Madhavendra Puri in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. He says goodbye to my Brahman thread and my meditation. Now I'm just absorbed in thought of the master of the gopis. You know, he says like that. It's a famous verse. But we shouldn't try to be like that at an immature stage. We should follow rules and regulations, but we should follow with that in mind. And so it says, it explains like that, that somebody's on the platform of rag, attraction, and the attraction of bhava. He may not follow rules and regulations nicely. You know? He may think, oh, I'll chant Gayatri later, now it's a good kirtan.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right, you understand?
Yeah, sure.
So that is not breaking the rules and regulations. But as far as possible, we should follow. But the thing is, the real thing we want to create is that attraction. Rag.
But it's just knowing what would please the Lord. Yeah,
it's just well, executing the order of the Guru. Right? Like now it's Purushottam Vrat. So we're supposed to do extra bhajan and so on. So if we do that, then Guru is pleased. Then Krishna is pleased. And we feel pleasure. But the main thing is the mentality, follow rules and regulations for the pleasure of Guru. Not paranoid. Because they have the Christian mentality, the devil's going to get me. You know, I'm going to go to hell. And sometimes devotees even talk like that. Oh, you're going to go to hell. No, there's no devil in Krishna. There's no big black cloud on the other side of Krishna. So, you know, that's the whole Western... Are you coming from Western culture? Western culture is always looking for the devil and Armageddon and apocalypse. You know, now they think there's going to be an apocalypse, right? You know, but it's all... Remember at 2000 they were saying the same thing? The computers are going to... All the airplanes will crash. It's all not... It's all this... This Armageddon apocalypse mentality all comes from Judaic Christian thing, that there's a great fight going on between the devil and God, and there's, you know, it's, and that's what's made, that's what's the Kali Yuga mentality, the good and bad. But Krishna consciousness means no, everything is under the control of Krishna. And according to my mentality, I find a place in that. If I have the mentality of a dog, I become a dog. If I have the mentality of a devata, I become a devata. If I have the mentality of giving pleasure to Hari, Guru and Vaishnava, I go to the spiritual transcendental platform. Right? Do you see the point? It's all according to mentality. So in sadhana, we... follow rules and regulations because that helps us develop the mentality of doing this for Guru and Krishna, His pleasure. And then we should feel pleasure, you see.
Yeah.
You see? And then we feel, become fixed up, you see. But many, I don't want to point finger, but many people, they don't understand this for maybe many years. They're in the temple and they're thinking, I will become liberated, I will become a big devotee, I will become in this position. You understand? So this is immaturity. But through knowledge, understanding the Shastra, then we become liberated. And because we replace that mentality with the devotional mentality, I'm doing this for Krishna. And then it doesn't matter. You know, if you have that mentality, it doesn't matter what everyone else is thinking. You understand?
Okay. I'm just trying my best. I'm just
thinking. Yeah, and then you will spread that mentality just by being there. You understand? You see? Like Prabhupada. He went to America not to become famous, because it was his order of his guru, to satisfy his guru. Right? He translated books. Why? Because he wanted to be known as a big writer? No. Because that was the order of Guru. So he was satisfying Guru. So that mentality is the transcendental mentality. And it doesn't matter if you're in a material body or spiritual body. Like Narada Muni, he's everywhere in the material world, but his mentality is service to Krishna. So that's what we're aiming at. But so if you do 3 to the feet and 4 to the stomach or waist, or it doesn't really matter. If the mentality is there, you know, you can do it roughly. I think that's about 4. I think it's about...
I'm obsessive compulsive disorder, so I'm just like, I'm like, it just makes me, like, I want everything to be perfect, otherwise I just get it paranoid.
No, it's good to try and do it perfectly. But you can't. Yeah, because you're always, I know, because I was pujari for a long time. And I still do puja every day. But even, I don't think I've ever done my puja without some slight mistake. You know what I mean? Because the mind goes away, or I did, oh, wait a minute, did I do, because that's the nature of the mind, you see. But that is the only, that is not a mistake, really, because the perfection is in the endeavor.
Right.
You understand? Just like a musician. You ask any musician, even a big musician, he'll say, how was your performance as well? Oh, it's okay, but I missed a few notes. Right? Because I know, you play any musical instrument? Yeah, so then some, you want to play this, but then sometimes, oh, I didn't play that quite right. So, that is just the normal condition. And that is part of the Leela in the spiritual world. Radha and Krishna, sometimes they have misunderstanding. Huh? And it churns the ocean of rasa. You understand? If everyone was mechanically perfect, it'd be like a machine.
Yeah.
But because there's variety, this creates Leela. You understand? So even in the spiritual world, there is apparent, you know, misunderstanding or apparent conflict between the different groups, Chandravali and Radharani and this group, right? And that stirs, you know, and Krishna might say the wrong thing, you know, like apparently the wrong thing, you understand? But this is, so perfection includes that free radical, you know, that entropy, that twist in the tail, you see. You understand the point?
Yeah.
So don't think, oh, I didn't do the circles correct.
Yeah.
You just, you know, the mentality of offering is the real thing. Even if you just get it roughly right. Because it's that freedom, that is essential to Leela. You see? Radha and Krishna aren't mechanically going through the day. And you know, we read in the Ashtakala Leela, Radha and Krishna do that. No, it's varying every single day. You know, it's not mechanically going through. You see? So there has to be a joker in the pack. You understand? Yeah, okay, I have to talk with Prabhu here. What's your name again?
Vikram.
I've seen you before.
Yeah.
Huh? Yeah. Where are you from?
Originally Kerala.
Kerala. Oh, nice place. I've been to Kanpur. No. Below Goa. Gokarn. That's it. I've been there. Yeah. I've been to Trivandrum, I've been to Guruvayur, and Udupi. Oh, that's Karnataka.
Yeah, that's Karnataka. But I was actually part of
New Delhi, and
I've been in
New
Delhi for
many
years.
So, I think I've seen you in England, haven't I?
Yeah.
The manor, yeah. Vikram, okay, yeah. So count, but don't worry. You know, who can count properly anyway? Don't